from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in History, My Indonesia, News in Brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirmed toll road and economic zone to be integrated. Minister Retno Marsudi to attend a SEPAD meeting in Bangkok. Now the news in detail.
The Indonesian government will integrate the Gempol Pasuruan toll road in East Java province with a number of economic zones such as industry, sport and tourism destinations. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when he inaugurated the Gempol Pasuruan toll road section 1 and 2, which reaches 20.5 kilometers in Pasuruan, East Java on Friday. The president explained that the toll road is built to be really useful both for the business world, for the world of tourism, for industrial world and for port areas which had been expanded. According to the president, the government will consider the toll road tariff aligned with investors, both state-owned and private ones. President Joko Widodo also said that toll tariffs should be affordable and beneficial to investors and communities. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will attend a ministerial meeting of the East Asian Forum for Cooperation for Development of Palestine to be held in Bangkok, Thailand on 26 and 27 June 2018. The third meeting of East Asian Countries for Palestine Development, SEPAD, will be opened by Thai Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha. This was stated by Foreign Minister spokesman Arman Atanasir in Jakarta on Friday. According to Armanata, the meeting will be attended by 11 ministers from East and Middle East countries including Brunei Darussalam, Egypt, Singapore, Thailand, Jordan, including representatives from 5 international organizations. He also stated that the main purpose of the third SEPAD meeting is to improve coordination and effectiveness in providing assistance to the Palestinians, especially for the capacity building assistance program. He also remarked that for Indonesia, the struggle for independence and Palestinian development is one of Indonesian foreign policy priorities. The Indonesian Trade Ministry that has targeted export value rise for 11% in 2018 has an opportunity to fulfill the target through Sanhe Expo that will be held on November 5th to 10, 2018. The gathering occasion at main building auditorium of Trade Bistro on Friday, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita mentioned that Indonesia will make an effort to increase export value with many countries, especially China.
Di Tokyo, awal bulan, kami akan mengadakan pertemuan bilateral dengan beberapa negara termasuk dengan RRT.
In Tokyo early this month, we will hold a bilateral meeting with several countries including People's Republic of China to discuss possibilities that we can do to increase our export. There are many products that we will put on the Sanhe Expo. Now we have an extra quota because of Indonesian President meeting with Prime Minister Lee Pan. The extra quota is at least 500,000 tons of CPO and we will also see the textile products and garment and steel products because I heard that China is oversupply. So everything has a chance. We will see later and we will talk about it. Furthermore, Director General of National Export Development of Trade Ministry, Arlinda, said that Indonesia will do transactions as much as possible in the sun export to fulfill the trade target with China.
Sebanyak mungkin ya. Jadi artinya gini, kita kalau nggak salah 45
miliar. As much as possible, yes. So it means that, if I'm not mistaken, we have a target worth $45 billion, but we have deficit with China for about $15 billion. So we have to do great effort. Actually, there are many countries that have a good potential to do trade with us, but we haven't tried to do it. Arlinda added that the trade minister targets Africa as one of the regions that has a potential to establish trade cooperation. Food commodity is one of the potentials to trade with African regions such as Kenya and Ethiopia, including Turkey. Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono will visit Indonesia on 24th until 26 June 2018 and hold a bilateral meeting with Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. On Monday 25th, Minister Retno will receive Japanese Foreign Minister Taro Kono. This was stated by Foreign Minister spokesman Arman Atanasir in Jakarta on Friday. The visit is the first one of Minister Taro Kono to Indonesia. According to Armanata, the main purpose at the bilateral meeting between Minister Retno and Minister Kono is to discuss preparation for the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan bilateral relationship. In addition, they will attend the 6th strategy dialogue Indonesia-Japan. The dialogue will discuss bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Japan on regional and global issues. Armanata added that there are several bilateral issues that will be of concern, especially economic cooperation. Both foreign ministers will also discuss about infrastructure investment and maritime cooperation in the bilateral meeting. In addition, Minister Taro Kono will also pay a courtesy visit to President Joko Widodo, Coordinating Minister of Merit Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Secretary General of ASEAN Lim John Hoi. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Beauty of Natural Resource Development Technology of Agency for Technology Assessment and Application, BPPT, Haman Risa, says that big data will be needed to strengthen disaster mitigation based on forecasting of impacts and risk warnings. As quoted by Antara News Agency at the press conference of the Technology Congress National 2018 in Jakarta on Friday, he explained that global awareness towards disaster has increased because of climate changes. The Disaster Risk Reduction Framework and the Paris Agreement 2015 saw challenges to realize more realistic steps for sustainable development goals. He added that in his session, United Nations agencies have encouraged the adoption of new paradigm of forecasting based on impact and risk-based warning for disaster mitigation. Indonesian National Zakat Agency Basnas, in cooperation with BT Synergy Digital Technology, launched a Zakat Virtual Service or Zakat Virtual Assistant with voice command, so-called Lena. The launch was conducted by Deputy Director Basnas Arifin Purwa Kananta and CEO of BT Synergy Digital Technology at the Celebrity Basnas Expo in Jakarta on Friday. Through Lena, Basnas wants to improve the service so that Musaki, the Zakat payers, are easier to pay Zakat. Arifin Purwa Kananta said that now Zakat has a virtual assistant that can help the community in meeting the needs of information about Zakat. Basnas will encourage Indonesian people with digital methods. He estimated that by 2020, the quantity of Zakat payers by digital will be 50%. Arifin hopes that with this great tool, people can download Lena and use the features of Lena. According to Arifin, the more people pay Zakat, the more people are helped.
State-owned fertilizer producer PT Petrokimia Gresik received a certification from International Fertilizer Association, IFA, during the 86th IFFA Annual Conference in Berlin, Germany. PT Pupuk Sriwijaya and three fertilizer companies from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Norway also received certifications. President Director of PT Petrokimia Gresik, Nugroho Kristianto, said in a press release on Friday that the certification is as international recognition of the company's commitment and its sustainability in managing and developing the fertilizer and agriculture industry in Indonesia.
The number of fertilizer companies included in the Hall of Fame of IFA Protect and Sustain has now reached 49 companies from 53 countries. After receiving the international certificate, PT Petrokimia Gresik is expected to boost its performance based on the three basic principles of IFA, namely safety, security, and sustainability. Indonesian Ambassador to Netherlands, Igusti Agung Wesaka Puja, officially opened a booth at the World of Coffee Exhibition to showcase Indonesian specialty coffees. The event being held at the Rai Amsterdam from June 21st to 23rd hosts the Pavilion Indonesian booth, showing case Arabica and Robusta coffee from various areas across Indonesia such as Sumatra Gayo, Bajawa Flores, Bali, Kintamani, Sulawesi Toraja, and West Java Prianjur. Five Indonesian coffee producer, Bintang Lima Pasipid, Blanco Coffee, Gayo Mandiri, Ari Sarina, and Askai, promote Indonesian specialty coffee through a coffee cupping program. Ambassador Fuja said to Antara News Agency on Friday that the embassy will continue to support Indonesian coffee business people in promoting their coffee products in the Netherlands by facilitating the Pavilion Indonesia at the World of Coffee Exhibition. The last item, Deputy Head of Creative Economy Agency Ricky Fesit stated in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia is targeting the American market as the main destination for local streetwear brands to expand business. Streetwear fashion was born from skate and shirt culture in the USA. The USA is also Indonesia's largest export market for Indonesian fashion products with an export value of $4.72 billion. He added that the biggest commodity for fashion products to the United States comes from the apparel industry, especially since the young generation prefers to buy independent products made by artisans that have certain characteristics. Ricky added that the streetwear fashion will provide opening for Indonesian artisans to introduce their local products. Fashion observer Kairia Sari said that although streetwear clothing originally came from America, local Indonesian brands have successfully developed their products with unique characteristics. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
News from across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to news from across the country. We begin with an information from Gorontalo Regency, Gorontalo Province. As many as 40,400 ketupat or rice cakes wrapped in woven palm leaves will be made by Gorontalo Provincial Government in celebrating Bakdot Kupat. This celebration will be centered in Yosonegoro and Padango villages, Gorontalo Regency, in Friday, June 22nd. Bakdo Kupat is an annual tradition of Jawa Tondano or Jaton descent, will be followed by karapan sapi, horse racing, and carriage horse racing at Yosonegoro Golf Course. Tourism agency had Nancy Lahai on Monday, June 19th, said there will be 40 food stands of ketupat and other foods prepared by Regional Apparatus Organization or OPD for free. The stands will be centered around ketupat statue between Yosonegoro and Padango villages. Nancy said the event is part of four national tourism events in Gorontalo during Ramadan and Syawal. Previously, there was Ramadan Beduk Festival and Tumbi Lohote Festival. Besides the 40,400 ketupats, every Jaton families will also make their own ketupat. This will increase the number of available ketupats. The visitors can enjoy the ketupat and other dishes for free. They even can choose various models of ketupat, onion, heart, luar, coto ketupat, and normal ketupat. Next
This information comes from Sukabumi, West Java. Thousands of visitors crowded the Situ Gunung Natural Tourism Area in Gunung Gede Pangrango National Park, Situ Gunung Resort, Kadudampit District, Sukabumi Regency, West Java Province on Sunday, June 17th. The tourists of various regions mostly came out of curiosity towards the suspension bridge in there. Moreover, the steel bridge had been viral in various social media. The bridge, which was built above trees, is 240 meters long and 2 meters wide. It is also suspended for 161 meters. The bridge floor is made from merbau or insia wood from Papua. Even, the suspension bridge was claimed to be the longest in Asia. Besides natural scenery amidst the remaining rainforest, the tourists can also visit Sawar Waterfall along the flow Cigunung River and Situ Gunung Lake. We end news from across the country with information from Sleman, Yogyakarta. As many as 17 traditional Javan theatrical genre or ketoprak groups from each district in Sleman Regency joined Inter-District Ketoprak Festival 2018. They will compete for 6 consecutive days. Sleman Regency Culture Agency Head Aji Wulantara said the Ketoprak Festival is held to celebrate Jogja cultural show as well as to find the artists' potential and regeneration in Sleman. The Ketoprak Festival was held at Turi District Complex, Sleman, on June 21st until 26, 2018 at 7 p.m. local time. The festival was opened by Sleman Regent Sri Purnomo. The Sleman Regent also launched E6 application, an innovation of their cultural agency. The app was aimed to increase and optimize service quality for the people. The Ketoprak Festival has total price of 21,250,000 rupiahs or more than $1,500, consisting of 5 categories. The judges of the Inter-District Ketoprak Festival 2018 will be locally famous names such as Purwat Madi, Aki Ruluwono, and Parjoyo. That was news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start for an event on June 23, 1939 when France handed over Alexandria to Turkey. On June 23, 1939, France handed over an important seaport, Alexandria, which was at the time part of Syria territory to Turkey. Alexandria, which is located at the Mediterranean many years before, was claimed by Turkey as part of its territory. But after the World War, in the agreement which was signed by England and France, the seaport was handed over to Syria. With the fall of Ottoman rule, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, who was pro-Western, was elected as president of Turkey. France, which was at the time the colonial authority in Syria, handed over the seaport to Turkey. The event was opposed by Syrian people against France. The next event is that in 1999, ruler of Morocco Kingdom, King Hassan, II passed away. 5 years after Morocco succeeded to gain its independence in 1961, King Hassan II was inaugurated to be Morocco ruler. During his reign, King Hassan II was under authoritarian and repressive government. King Hassan, including some Arab leaders, pioneered peace with Israel regime. He was even included a leader who became a mediator or negotiation between the Tel Aviv and a number of Arab countries. His attitude posed a lot of dissatisfaction among Morocco people. For several times, he became target of assassination,
but he always escaped from the assassination. And the last event is that in 2007, Professor Suyudi passed away. Professor Suyudi was a former Indonesian health minister for period 1993-1998 and also former rector of University of Indonesia. He was emeritus professor of microbiology department, Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia. He was active as holder of Friendship Association of Indonesia Japan, chairman of Blood Transfusion and Hospital of Indonesian Red Cross, and the president commissioner of a number of companies in the health sector. Professor Suyudi passed away on June 23, 2007 due to heart attack. During his services, he received awards such as Bintan Mahaputra, Adi Pradana from the government of Indonesia, and some awards from the governments of Japan, France, Uzbekistan, Austria, and the Dutch. Suyudi was also a minister of ideas of University of Indonesia to be world-class research university. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on increasing services Ministry of Industry generates 170 billion rupiahs. The Technical Service Unit under the Industrial Research and Development Agency of the Ministry of Industry managed to increase services to domestic industry players during 2013 to 2017. The 45% surge in service volume is driven by the enforcement of the mandatory National Standardization SNI certification regulation, as well as the increasing awareness of national industry players to obtain quality assurance certificates of their products. Head of Industrial Research and Development Agency, Ministry of Industry, Ngakan Timur Antara, reported this in Jakarta on Wednesday, June the 20th. He said the Technical Service Unit has an important role as the executor of operational technical tasks and in supporting technical duties. Technical services to industry include testing, calibration, inspection, certification, consulting, engineering, training, and research and development cooperation. Currently, the Agency for Industrial Research and Development is supported by 24 units of technical services in various regions, including research center and industrial standardization, industrial certification center, and product development. Ngakan Timur Antara revealed from these technical services, the Ministry of Industry has been able to generate non-tax state income of about 170 billion rupiahs. He explained the non-tax state revenues is from the fee of service charge provided by the Technical Services Unit to industry players and public in general. Ngakan Timur Antara asserted the non-tax state revenue from technical services is not aimed to make profit, but to improve the quality of service itself. In general, non-tax state revenues are sourced from four different revenue groups, namely from natural resources, separated state assets, direct services from the state received by the service user, and the management of state property. Ngakan Timur Antara added, with the increasing contribution of non-tax revenues in the budget, then the dependence of the budget from the rupiah derived from the state revenue and expenditure budget will also be reduced. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on increasing services Ministry of Industry generates 170 billion rupiahs. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is news in brief read by Rahmana. The Indonesian government will integrate the Gempol Pasuruan toll road in East Java province with a number of economic zones such as industries, ports, and tourism destinations. This was stated by President Joko Widodo when he inaugurated the Gempol Pasuruan toll road section 1 and 2, which reaches 20.5 kilometers in Pasuruan, East Java on Friday. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi will attend a ministerial meeting of the East Asian Forum for Cooperation for Development of Palestine to be held in Bangkok, Thailand on 26 until 27 June 2018. The Indonesian Trade Ministry that has targeted export value rise for 11% in 2018 has an opportunity to fulfill the target through Shanghai Expo that will be held on November 5 to 10, 2018. Indonesian Ambassador to Netherlands, I Gusti Agung Wesaka Puja, officially opened a booth at the World of Coffee Exhibition to showcase Indonesian specialty coffees. The event held at the Rai Amsterdam from June 21st until 23rd hosts the Pavilion Indonesian booth showcasing Arabica and Robusta coffee from various areas across Indonesia, such as Sumatra, Gayo, Bajawa, Flores, Bali, Kintamani, Sulawesi, Toraja, and West Java, Priangan. Deputy Head of Creative Economy Agency Ricky Fesik stated in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesia is targeting the American market as the main destination for local streetwear brands to expand business. Streetwear fashion was born from skate and surf culture in the USA. The USA is also Indonesia's largest export market for Indonesian fashion products with the export value $4.72 billion. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Parang Lo Waterfall in Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Goa Regency is located in South Sulawesi province. The Regency, which has a distance only 10 minutes from Makassar City, has various kinds of natural world, history, and culture. One of the natural worlds which can be enjoyed is Parang Loe Waterfall. Loe Waterfall is one of the most beautiful tourism objects in Goa, which should be visited when having holidays in South Sulawesi province. The waterfall, which has interesting stones arrangement, is located at Bori Village, Parang Loe District, Goa Regency, South Sulawesi province, or around 2 kilometers from Makassar City, the capital city of South Sulawesi. Listener, Parang Loe Waterfall is still natural. To enjoy the beauty of the waterfall, you can depart from Makassar City through Goa Malino until Bili Bili Dam. Thus, you can ask the local people the direction to the waterfall because its location is hidden. To enjoy the beauty of the waterfall, you should pay attention on several things, such as do not come on rainy season because here there is often flood which happens suddenly. If you come on rainy season, you must be careful because the stone's arrangement is slippery. Listener, Parang Loe Waterfall is the most beautiful waterfall in South Sulawesi because it has clear water and the roar of the waterfall adds its own attraction. To get access to the waterfall is quite difficult because you must go down path which is lined of rainwater with slope level 30 until 45 degrees. Even though the trip is quite difficult and exhausting, when arriving at the waterfall, we guarantee all of your fatigue will be replaced with the beauty of the waterfall. Listener, if you want to visit Parang Loe Waterfall in Goa, South Sulawesi, please do not forget to bring your own clothes because it is not complete if you do not swim at the waterfall. Besides, do not forget to take your picture here with Parang Loe Waterfall as background. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Putri Safitri Ardela. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia including arts and culture, environment, technology, and even lifestyle. Today's miscellany is on geometry and clay. For some students in Indonesia, math lesson is still sometimes considered as something to be avoided at best. Seeing this, three female students of Mathematics Education Study Program of Muhammadiyah University of Surabaya decided to do something. They are also concerned about Indonesian cultural heritage, especially traditional games such as engklek, which is increasingly abandoned by the children. The three students are Nur Isnaini Utami, Indah Kurnia, and Leli Oktaviana revive the traditional game which they call engklek geometry as an effort to preserve it by modifying the game into a medium of math learning. Engklek, usually played by 2 to 5 people, is a traditional game commonly found in Jawa, Bali, Sumatra, Kalimantan, and Sulawesi. In its region, this one game has many names. Some call it teklek, cipak gunung, Sunda Manda, dempra, and others. In Jawa, the game is commonly known as engklek. Well, it is actually similar in some aspects to an English children game, hopscotch. For the most part, the rules of the game are almost the same as those of typical engklek game. However, the way of ownership of plots or square in the geometry engklek is different. Participants must be able to answer some questions. Another difference is the shape of the plot, the gacok, and the presence of a question card containing questions related to geometry lessons, such as rectangular shape, parallelogram, rhombus, kite, and at the top there is a half circle. According to Indah, the process of making the geometry engklek is more or less 3 weeks. She added this learning media has been tested to the 7th grade students of Muhammadiyah Surabaya. The trial ran for 3 weeks. The 3 students of Muhammadiyah University of Surabaya are hoping with geometry engklek As a learning media, learning mathematics can be fun. That was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta featuring Geometry and Clack.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Irwansyah. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Pecinta Wanita. Enjoy the song!
Kutemukan dalam pencarian cinta sejati untuk hidupku. Kurang lebih yang seperti dia, ku harap dalam cintaku. Ku tak mau menjanjikannya, pasti bahagia bila denganku. Biar dia rasakan sendiri, betapa gilanya cintaku. Aku memang pencinta wanita, namun ku bukan buaya yang setia pada seribu gadis. Ku hanya mencintai dia. Aku memang pencinta wanita yang lembut seperti dia. Ini saatku akhiri semua pencarian dalam hidup, dan cintaku ternyata ku mau hanyalah dia. Ku tak mau menjanjikannya, pasti bahagia bila denganku. Biar dia rasakan sendiri betapa gilanya cintaku. Aku memang pencinta wanita, namun ku bukan buaya yang setia pada seribu gadis. Ku hanya mencintai dia. Dalam hidup dan cintaku, ternyata ku mau hanyalah dia.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Pecinta Wanita, sung by Irwansyah. The song with the title Pecinta Wanita tells about a man who just found his lover. Even though he looked for her lover for a long time, the man did not want to give his promise to his lover. Although he recognizes as woman lover, the man seems to be loyal to one heart. In Indonesian entertainment, Irwansyah began his career as an actor. His name skyrocketed after playing a movie entitled Heart in 2006. At that time, and his friend Acha Septriasa also sang original soundtrack film Heart. Unexpectedly, positive response on his acting and vocal in the film Heart made Irwansyah release his own songs. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled My Heart.
Bersama menjalani kasih sayang, bahagia ku denganmu.
Pernahkah kau mengintai hari paling di sini surga kita? Bila kita mencintai yang lain, mungkinkah hati ini akan tegar? Sebisa mungkin tak akan pernah sayangku akan hilang. If you love somebody, could we be this wrong? I will fight to win, our love will conquer all. Wouldn't raise my love even just one night. Our love will stay in my heart.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Irwansyah. After being well known with the song My Heart, Irwansyah released some singles and albums. Some of them, which are quite known, are Pecinta Wanita and Kutunggu Jandamu. For Irwansyah, a celebrity who is also busy as businessman, singing is not just because of an opportunity. He often practices his vocal to be better. However, Irwansyah much focuses on acting and business so that he are able to sing few songs. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Kau Yang Sempurna and Perempuanku. I'm Putri Savitri Ardella. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Ku tahu betapa dalamnya kesalahan yang telah ku buat, hingga kau pun coba tepiskan aku dari jejak-jejak lantamu. Maafkan aku siakan cintamu, menguburmu dalam kesendirian, hingga ku sadari kau sempurna yang mampu buatku lebih berarti. Berikanlah asa untuk tanamkan kembali cintamu di hatiku. Sambut aku, dekap aku, karena kau yang selalu butuhkan. Ku tahu betapa dalamnya kesalahan yang tak ku buat, hingga kau pun coba tepiskan aku dari jejak-jejak langkahmu. Berarti berikanlah asa untuk tanamkan kembali cintamu di hatiku. Sambut aku, dekap aku, karena kau yang selalu aku butuhkan. Kembali cintamu di hatiku. Sambut aku, dekat aku, karena kau yang selalu aku butuhkan.
Indonesia. Zone.
Biarkan aku di sini untukmu, aku hanya ingin menghibur malam ini, malam yang pasti menyenangkan untukmu dan tentu untukku. Biarkan di sini aku bernyanyi hanya untukmu, untuk menghibur kamu, dan aku yakin senyummu tulus dan jujur hanya untukku. Perempuanku, sejak dulu sudah bersama, boleh dibilang berpacaran, berdua kita serasi. Tapi kini lain, kau malah berpaling dariku dan berjanji dengan yang lain. Aku ini kau campakkan, namun cintaku tak bisa saja menerima kenyataan kau pergi dariku. Aku masih tetap cinta, lalu ku putuskan ku tunggu jendamu.
aku cinta padamu. Kau janda pun aku mau. Namun cintaku tak bisa begitu saja menerima kenyataan kau pergi dariku. Aku masih tetap cinta lalu ku putuskan. Saking aku cinta padamu, kau janda pun aku mau. Namun cintaku tak bisa begitu saja menerima kenyataan kau pergi dariku. Aku masih tetap cinta.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.